Like you, I'm stuck in the house. Today, coming out to preach from a safe distance from my colleagues here, it's like Disneyland, folks, and it's only been 2 weeks. I'm trying to develop the good habits that I see all over the internet. And I'm a priest, so imagine my Facebook feed. Good things, like create a monastery-like schedule, morning prayer, and taking a walk, and focusing on your work with mindfulness, and giving media and news only the barest necessary attention. But frankly, I'm more resonating with the memes about Lord of the Flies, and my children are grown-ups. And yes, lots of it is funny, and that's helpful, and it's cathartic. But I'm nervous, and I'm sad, and I'm unmotivated. And I have stuff to do, but I don't know what to do with myself. And yet, you know what? I know this feeling. I recognize it from deep within myself, in my heart, where it lives as a companion. There are nuances, sure, but this is grief. These times, they bring and activate grief. And I know grief. You don't get to be such an advanced age that leaders will unabashedly say out loud that your life should be forfeit for the sake of the economy without having suffered some big losses. And if you heard that as a crack, know that I am serious. And I'm not pulling any punches at the pulpit today. Here on the fifth Sunday of the holy season of Lent, on the journey to the cross, here in the midst of a pandemic, here, standing next to Martha and Mary and the weeping Jesus outside of Lazarus's tomb, my heart is weeping too. Lazarus isn't the only one in the tomb. My mother has been in the tomb for 24 years. My dad for 10. My son, Patrick, a dozen. And yet, Jesus has the audacity to weep when he knows that he's about to shout, "Lazarus, come out," and his friend will. What about Patrick? What about the people who are dying, still waiting for bespoke ventilators and protective gear? Will they get to come back out? Grief wants to know. Grief is personal. Grief is unmoored, and grief is honest. And honestly, sometimes grief gets angry at the reading of scriptures like today's. Mine is surely not the only grieving heart that hears this gospel of Lazarus coming out of the tomb and feels that pinch inside of me. That's great. But what about my friend, my child, mother, father, partner? And mine is surely not the only heart in this pandemic nation worrying. Is one of my loved ones going to die for want of testing or ventilators or foresight? Jesus, what about the pain and injustice in the world right now? But then, I imagine Jesus standing right here next to my agitated self, as he was on the dusty road next to Martha, as she cries, "Where were you, Jesus? I thought you loved us." And Jesus is responding, not to Martha, but to me. "Nancy, do you believe?" And in these fraught times, my knee-jerk agitation, it's the same answer and the same hands in the air that I imagine Ezekiel having as he stared at the dry bones this morning, saying, "Oh Lord God, you know. I don't know." My knee-jerk is distress, because I'm a human being with all my frailty, and this life is hard on the heart. But I do know, because I'm a Christian. And when, like Martha, I have wailed my lament for God to hear and to hold, Jesus is no longer weeping at the tomb. He has opened the tomb, not just to let this one friend come back, but for all of us to take heart in the depth of his divine and human compassion and solidarity and love for us, and his triumph over death. Because on Easter Sunday, Jesus comes out of the tomb for us. That I know. In this coming soon, homebound to be peak of the coronavirus pandemic in Washington State, Easter Sunday, and every day, Jesus is risen. Resurrection is transformation. Do you think Lazarus was unchanged by being the man who died and came back to life? Imagine what it was like being Lazarus. And we are resurrection people. If we Christians stake our faith on Christ's resurrection, we must be as transformed by it as Lazarus. If Jesus vanquishes death, then he vanquishes it for me and for you and for our loved ones who have died before us. How could we not be changed by that? Friends, that doesn't mean that grief is vanquished. Grief is the price we pay for love. It's part and parcel of being fully human. That's why Jesus is weeping at Lazarus's tomb, tears of grief and anger and loss and frustration. Our gospel version today translates the Greek word, embrimamomai, to he was greatly disturbed and deeply moved. But elsewhere in scripture, that tomb, that word, is used for rebuke or scold in Mark, and indignation in Lamentations, and rage in Daniel. All of that is in Jesus' weeping at Lazarus' tomb. I know that God can hold the anger and fear that come up in my grief and can love me through it, because Jesus has already gone through it and has shown us that. But with that, are we living as people transformed from death to life by what Jesus has done for us? In going back to Bethany, back to within 2 miles of Jerusalem, where the authorities are already riled up, Jesus knows what he's headed toward. John's gospel reports that the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going to go there again?" The ever-blunt Thomas says with some sarcastic resign, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And then, in raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus is sealing his fate with the authorities. Now they've got more to fear from him than ever. In the next verses in John, if you had continued reading, the chief priests and the Pharisees clamor, "If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." This is what Jesus walked into for us. We call it Holy Week. Jesus knew that he was going to his death and resurrection. This is transformation time for all of us. Holy Week always is. But this year, walking with Jesus to the cross is shadowed with dark circumstances, unlike most of us have ever seen. There's a virus running rampant, and we're sequestered at home. We're scared, and we're angry, and we're grieving. But if Holy Week is again transformation time for us as Christians, if our faith for us is truly formational and transformational, then we need to live our call as Christians more faithfully than ever. We grieve, but we don't despair. We worry, but we don't countenance even talk of sacrificing any of God's people for mammon, for money, the economy. We yearn for communion, but we don't endanger the vulnerable by gathering together too soon to prove that we're churchy. Churchiness is not discipleship. Love of neighbor, love of the least of these, is discipleship. If this somehow sounds more political than gospel, we just go back to Matthew 22 and 25. How do we live into and live out our faith, our love for the resurrected Jesus, who on Holy Week is for love of us going to walk through hell to get to his resurrection for our sake? We live out our love by following him. That is not separate from our life in the world. It's tied to our actions. We're staying home so we don't unwittingly spread the coronavirus to somebody else. I'm writing and calling my legislators to demand action to get the aid to the vulnerable and resources to our medical personnel now, not someday. To ramp up testing, even though when you do a lot of testing, you get bigger real numbers of infected people. And I'm working on my own heart to not harden to friends who are led astray by flashy false prophets claiming God loves money more than any one of God's beloved people. Yes, we are grieving. And my discipleship in Christ is what gives me strength in grieving fearful times. To stand up or to stay home, as the case may be, and to love God and my neighbor with my whole heart. If we don't want to follow Jesus, it's not because he hasn't shown us his love, weeping with us, rising for us. It's because we love something else more. If that thing is money or power or my own whim and pleasure, and we love that more than the life of any of these, the least of my people, we are not following Jesus to the cross and resurrection. I think maybe that's Jesus' tears at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus stands there beside us, weeping with us and for us, and asking, "Do you believe?" I answer as a human being, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And grief and doubt, being part of being human notwithstanding, every time I return my heart to my birthright as God's beloved child, to my redemption through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to my mandate from Jesus' own lips to take care of my neighbor, I live into my faith as a follower of Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. Yes, weeping enters in, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen.